Thank God I can see.
Amen.
You know, I thank God I can have my faculties are in pretty reasonable order for this many years of being around on earth.
Amen.
Particularly considering the amount of abuse I did to myself at one time in my life. Amen. So when I look around, I always have a lot to thank God for.
Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord gave me a beautiful wife, and I got reasons I could just go on. I waste up your whole day up here. I'm not going to do that. Amen. I could just waste your whole day telling you how good God has been to me. It would be a waste because all good, you know, but you think about it. I mean, he's been good to you, right? You know, I could take up the whole day and still wouldn't even be through. They would say, preacher, can we go home? I got some hot dogs cooking on the grill or something, you know. You might say, yeah, I could do that, but I'm not going to do that this morning. Amen. Amen. We're coming around full circle to a year of service here at St. Timothy, for which I thank God for that.
Amen.
See, I got more. I keep on going. I'm not going to do it, but I thank God. And this was a something God had been planning for years.
Amen.
He had been planning it for years. And we had, you know, you look back. That's the way it is sometimes with God. He'll have you look back over your life. And then you'll see what he was doing. It's like, wow, boy, is that what you were doing? And the answer is yes, it is. And you didn't know what he was doing. You were wondering all that time, what is God up to? And God was up to something, and you didn't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's the kind of God he is. The reason is, he's outside of time.
That's right.
You know, time is something he created for us.
Yes.
And when he did, he put us in it. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows
yes,
what's
he
coming out of it.
Yes, he does.
Amen. He put you in it right where you are.
Yes.
You know, and he has a blessing for you. God is not against you. I'm able to announce that confidently here.
Amen.
Today, that God is not against you. You know, because he was against me, he could have snuffed me out long ago. And I think he would have done the rest of the world a good service to get rid of me. I was pretty bad. I was doing stuff that was not kosher.
Yes, me too.
So he would have probably helped somebody by getting rid of me. You know, he could have, but he kept me here.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so, you know, I was redeemable in his sight. I know some people who knew me back then who didn't think I was redeemable. They thought, boy, that dude is nothing but a waste. You know, because I was doing some wasteful type behavior.
Yes.
And I was attacking my body. That's why I say I'm thankful I didn't do damage that couldn't be fixed. The kind of things I was involved in. See, I could have done wreck something and been crazy. I know folks who lost their mind. And they ain't thinking right. Some of them friends I went to school with. They was, you see them just out of their mind. They're not right. That could have happened to me.
That's right.
And then minute. So I thank God that it didn't. And so I'm just blessed to be here this morning. And so if you're here, pardon me if you happen to see me doing a little shout, a little dance every now and then. Hey,
I love it.
If I get beside myself, I understand. You know, I come from a long, long way. And God is moving me along, so I'm thankful for that. And then when we look at the whole scenario of how we ended up being united with this body here at St. Timothy, God had been working on this. This was something he planned a long time ago. I don't even know if it's not. I've been asking myself, could this be something that Dr. Hamilton prayed for? And I think it could have been if you knew the founding pastor of this church.
Amen.
Because he was a praying man.
Amen.
And he could see things
was.
In the spirit that
Amen.
People couldn't see.
Amen.
And I thank God for him and all he did. He invested a lot of his time and effort into me.
Amen.
And I guess he knew there was going to be a succession after me. And I don't know if he knew that for sure. I'm not able to say 100%, but I do know he had some wisdom, and I thank him for it. I thank him for what he did in the calling of the previous pastor, Pastor Bartlett.
Yes.
Who was here
yes.
And then, and the way everything went down last year, if you had, some of you may not have been here, it was almost like a clockwork.
Yes, it was.
It was unbelievable because everything fell into place like clockwork.
Yes.
And we knew that it had to be God. This had to be God who did this because there's no other way the circumstances would have worked out.
No doubt.
My wife and I were serving up the street at Friendly Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And the deacon deacons here were thinking when the pastor announced that he had to go to serve in another church where his pastor died. Well, there's no way Pastor Fisher is coming down here from Friendly Temple. You know, but because they looked at the size of the church and the number of members and how much prestige the church has. And it's a great church.
Yes.
But that was not the issue. The issue was God had prepared in my heart years before to be in service.
Yes.
And I always loved St. Timothy.
Yes.
So that was something that was in my mind all the way back from when I first met Dr. Hamilton, when I sat on a bench next to him at a seminar. And I thought, well, this man is serious about God. And that's why I studied with him back then, all those years back. That's why I say you don't know what God is trying to orchestrate in your life. You know, and he and I got along great. We were like brothers. We get over here and start talking about the word, and time would go by, and you know, we'd still be in here. Folks came and left, and we still talking about the word. We sat at a seminar one time, and I'm not trying to reminisce too much here, but I just thought it might be appropriate to mention this
Amen.
Morning.
Amen.
We were at a seminar, and he was sitting next to me, and I didn't even know him, never had met him before. And the teacher said something, and then he went rattled off what he said in the Greek. I said, oh, yeah, that's just like it. I answered him back with something else. He said, oh, okay, so you into the Greek. And I said, yeah, I've been studying it a little bit. And we kind of locked the horns, so to speak, got together at that point. And he said, well, why don't you come over and visit the church? I said, okay. And I came over. And it turns out my pastor, when I told him I met Reverend Dr. Hamilton at a seminar, he said, oh, yeah, that's my friend. You need to go to him if you want to be ordained. Because he had already licensed me to preach at the Mount Herald Missionary Baptist Church. And so he said, yeah, go over and see him. He can train you and get you ready for ordination. I said, okay. So then all that all looked like it was an accident.
Wow.
You know, but God doesn't make accidents. Something that looks like a mess to you that's not going the way you think and you don't know how it's going and just seem like it's circumstantial, God is working in that thing for you. So some things look haphazard to you. You don't know how it's coming out. But God is the one doing it. And it turns out I started to go to school. I met Dr. Adams, and we went to Leo College. I didn't know he was at Leo and he had anything to do with St. Timothy. This was years ago. We both got some degrees from the Leo College. And so we were studying in the same schools. And
my Lord.
And so then Bartlett, he and I were friends, and he, every time he needed somebody to pinch hit over here, or he went on vacation, or somebody say, Pastor Fisher, come over and help. And so all of that was all instrumental in what took place here a year ago.
My Lord.
And I can't look back at it and say, okay, it was an accident. No, that was God working, bringing things together. You see what I'm saying? And so all I'm wondering now is why? That's the question to me. Why? I know there's something we have to do.
Amen.
We got work we got to get done. God started on the work already because he put it in our spirit when we came here. Put in as much as you have to make this work.
Amen.
And that's what we have been doing, my wife and I.
Amen.
So we've come in. We have tried to establish things, got a few things set in order, some stuff that we thought belongs in the church that needs to be done.
Yes.
And we're still working on that.
Still working.
And so we've gotten somewhat far. Some, if you're just walking in today and you haven't been here, you wouldn't know some of the changes that have taken place here.
Yes.
And we have some other infrastructure in place underneath that's going on that needed to be put in place that's already there now, so that we're kind of a little bit more solid than we were a year ago.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so we can see that that's a foundation God is laying for greater ministry.
Yes. Yes.
And so I just wanted to say that to you who are here, because I think you're here for a reason.
Amen.
And we need help. We can't do it like I was saying there. You know, if you feel compelled to help and you want to get into a ministry that you can watch it blossom and become something even greater than what you see, you can't judge a book by its cover. Let me say that. I've been some places that look better, but I haven't been any place where the people were any better than they are here at St. Timothy. Amen. So sometimes it's that kind of a thing. You get in the grassroots and you watch a thing develop and become something great.
Yes.
Amen. So we believe that. I believe that for the whole city of Wellston, because I've seen what happened here. Even in that time period, Wellston went from being a chaotic mess in City Hall to they're starting to get some organization.
Amen.
They got a mayor that cares about the area and all that kind of thing. So a lot of stuff is all happening on that political realm as well as at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see that, you know that's the good hand of God. Like Nehemiah said, was up on me while I was serving in Shushan behind the palace if you read Nehemiah. You know, he knew it was God, even though if somebody else was in charge, they had mutilated Jerusalem, and we're not preaching on that this morning, but it's a good topic.
Yes.
But he knew that it was God who put his hand on his situation and caused things to work to his favor.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So when you see the favor of God, you need to recognize. I just want to say that.
Amen.
Recognize that God loves you. He's in it. And there's a blessing in it for you if you just be faithful. Now, those of you who know, we started off back when we started here, right, when I started back some time ago, I had a few topical introductory messages, and then we went immediately into where I had left off when I was preaching in another ministry that I had started, and we started in Romans chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have gotten all the way through a year, and we're at Romans 15.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going systematically through God's Word. We took a few detours along the way for special times and seasons like Mother's Day, Father's Day, things of that sort, Christmas and Passover and those type of things. But we always get back on the track. And the reason I do that, God convicted me that I need, because Jesus said, when he left, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And when he said that, that was absolutely true. He's the only one that went through the grave,
amen,
defeated death and the devil, got up out the grave and said, hey, I'm still alive.
Amen.
And you can't take my life.
Amen.
And I did this for them who love me. I did this for God who wanted to settle their debt. I paid it entirely, and now here I am, I'm alive forevermore. See, that's why he was able to say in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me. Because there was some power God had given to Adam, that God, Adam usurped, let the devil usurp that power and take it. And so he sent Jesus in to take the power back that was usurped from Adam,
yes,
by Satan, to,
yes,
give it to you.
Amen.
See, so Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. We'll talk about that a little later. But he came to repossess that power Adam lost when Adam sinned, to give it back to us. So you and I have to see ourselves as agents of that power. And think about this. God did it to give it back to you.
Yeah.
We talked about this, and that's such a deep thought.
Yes.
You know what? When God authorized the church, that's you. It's not this building.
Amen.
Don't make no difference what kind of building you got. You are the church.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the people are the church.
Amen.
Jesus made an investment in you.
Yes.
When he came back to take what the devil stole,
yes,
which he did. He took back his life. He took back the penalty, which was death.
Yes.
The wages for sin is death.
Yes.
He took it from the devil, and he gave it to his apostles.
Yes.
So when he got up out of the grave, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, there go ye therefore.
Yes.
Who is that? He didn't say, I'm getting ready to go carry this gospel now into the world. No, I'm giving it back to you.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Go ye therefore in all the world and teach. Yes. Make disciples,
yes,
of all the nations. See? So he put that authority on his church,
mm-hmm,
to go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes.
And this is the caveat. Well, people come and they say, well, what about my sin? Well, I took care of that.
Yes, right. Thanks.
I paid the debt entirely. So you might think, oh, I'm unfit to serve because I have sin in my life. Well, he came to pay the debt.
Yes.
So you don't have sin in your life if you trust in him.
Amen.
If you trust Christ, he has forgiven you of your sin.
Yes, he has.
And that's the good news we call the gospel. He fixed the whole problem that Adam started.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in order to give the authority back to you, he didn't want it for himself. He's God. He has all authority.
Amen.
Already, he wanted to give it back to you.
Amen.
And tell you to go out and give it away to everyone else.
Amen.
See, because God so loved the world, it said, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that means any of you, no matter who you are,
yes,
believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You see, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
So we're here because we're saved.
Yes, we are.
Today.
Yes, we
he
are.
He snatched us right out of the devil's hand.
Yes, he did.
By faith. If you trust in Christ, I'm bringing you forth right now. I empower you to go in my name.
Lord.
See,
yes.
I give you back that same status Adam had before. Before he sinned.
Thank you, Jesus.
Except this time it's better because it'll never go away again.
Amen.
It will never be lost again.
Yes.
This time it's sealed by the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Forever, for eternity. You cannot lose anymore now. See, death has been swallowed up in victory. So we started in Romans. I'm going to get you to the lesson here in a minute. Just give me a minute here. I have to get this exposition told.
Take your time.
So think about our responsibility.
Yeah.
And think about all the people you know, whether they be in your family, on your job, at your school, in your workplace, wherever it happens to be, on your street, in your neighborhood, who don't know Christ. You and I have a significant job to do, and it's not a job, it's really a privilege. Think of it as a privilege. God has privileged you to have information from on high.
Yes.
That the debt of man's sin has been canceled by the blood of my son.
Yes.
Once and for all.
Yes.
And I'm dispensing you to tell them that they should study him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the model. He is the one that we are discipled under.
Yes.
We're discipled under Christ. In other words, we study Christ. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, right?
Yes.
He's the author. He thought it up and he completed it and finished it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Yes.
Despising the shame.
My Lord.
See that? He endured the cross for the joy that is set before him, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does that mean? That means he's completed the work, that he doesn't have anything else he needs to do.
Right.
He's seated at the right hand of God. And that's not necessarily a seat per se. In other words, he is in majesty and glory with God,
yes,
like he was before he left to come here and fix the problem that we had. And the problem is fixed if you believe. The only reason it's not fixed for you is if you're sitting here today and you do not believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again 3 days afterwards, as the scripture said.
Yes.
It was written in the scripture that Messiah would come. And that's what we were talking about here in Romans when we get back to chapter 15. You have a lesson in front of you.
Yes.
If you don't, you may ask, put your hand up, and we'll have the ushers or deacons give you a copy of it if you happen not to have a copy. And we're going to look at this because I think it's spectacular. I am just overjoyed and overwhelmed that things are the way that they are. So let's look at this. We're going to get into, I want you to see something that God had been preparing from the foundation of the world. In other words, before he made anything, the word tells us that everything Jesus did was in the mind of God. It was something the Father, the Son, and the Spirit had agreed on in eternity before anything was created.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4:1-4 says that he chose us in him from the foundation of the world. See, so that means before anything existed, God had elected you, chosen you.
Yes.
You have that much destiny and purpose on your life.
Amen. Amen.
See, you may not think of it. You might think, oh, I'm little old Ray. I just work at Anheuser-Busch and work my life until I retire. And now I'm going to have a lawn service. Or you might be thinking of yourself way lower than what God is thinking.
Yes.
God is thinking, this is Ray, my disciple.
Yes.
He represents my son in the world when he goes out.
Yes.
You know, people see him and they see my light in him.
Yes.
Because there's something about his demeanor and his character and his spirit that I have placed in there by my Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they know this is a unique individual.
Yeah.
And it's like Jesus said, you are a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Sometimes we find ourselves doing stuff we like people not to know I'm a Christian right now. You know, this is not about Ray. I switched my flint story. So Ray said, hey, clean that up, Pastor. Well, just sometimes Christians get in a situation where we might not want you to know I'm a Christian right now. But it's something about you that people can see Christ in you. If Christ is in you, it's visible.
Amen. Yes, it is.
He said a city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. And he says, my light I give unto you. And when you go forth, the light of truth is in you if you trust Christ.
That's right.
You can't hide it.
No way.
And I've been amazed, and I've been like, I was somewhere digging a ditch one day, had dirt all the way up on my back. I was really filthy and dirty clothes, and somebody walked up to me and said, oh, aren't you that minister who I heard in the prison? I said, well, how could you recognize me down in here? I'm in a hole with dirt all over me. I don't look like a preacher down here, do I? You know, and they just recognized me, you know. And so somebody will see you, and what God is doing in you is an indestructible thing.
Yes, it is.
And it's something that's it's invisible, but yet it shows. It shows on your countenance who you are.
Mm-hmm.
By the way you carry yourself.
Amen.
It's something about you once you get saved that you go around and the radiance of Christ is in you.
Yes.
It's something he wants you to have.
Yes.
He puts it on you to make you unique so that people notice you, and it gives you an opportunity to speak to them.
Amen.
You know? And so looking at this lesson here, I just want to go as we return here to our study through the complete book of Romans. This is relevant to what we have just discussed.
All right.
And we have arrived again now in the 15th 16 chapter. We took a little break for the Palm Sunday and the Passover Sunday, so we're getting back into it here today. And I want you to see here that the Apostle Paul had began to reveal a very important thing about the truth of the gospel when he got to turn the corner here around this 15th chapter. And that was, and keep in mind who it is who writes this now. Saul of Tarsus, he was known as, yes, before he got saved. He was high in religion.
Yes, he was.
He said he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the master teachers of the Jews. One of the most foremost, well-known. You would say he was one of the highest in Judaism, if you will. And Saul was his disciple.
Yes.
Sat at his feet. He knew the law implicitly, back and forth.
Amen.
He knew all about the Old Testament, every little bit of it. He could tell you anything about it. When you see that term scribe or a doctor in the scriptures, usually talking about a person who has studied all their lives in the Word of God. We would say they have a doctorate degree in the law of God today. That's how we would say it. And so Saul was his name before. Now he has become Paul because God gave him a new name.
That's right.
When he was confronted on the Damascus Road about him being in error,
yes,
about who Jesus is.
Amen.
See, he was going down, as a matter of fact, he was so zealous in Judaism, I'm going down to destroy that church because this is ungodly, and he couldn't see any possible way that God ordained this thing. No way, and I'm going to go get rid of it. And not only that, but I'm going to the law, the highest government, which is Rome. I'm going to get papers from Rome, and I'm going to go down here and get rid of this thing right now because it's spreading like wildfire and somebody's got to do something about this. It's got to be stopped. That's how zealous he was for the law. Basically, what he thought for the law of Moses. He thought that's what God wanted him to do. And so, of course, we know he was confronted by Christ.
Oh, yes, he was.
On the Damascus Road as he traveled the dusty road going down to Damascus in Syria to destroy the church. The church had been scattered there because of persecution.
That's right.
And so he says, we got to get rid of it. Not only just scattered, it's got to be rubbed out.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of the way, as they call themselves. Yeah. And so we know he turned around because God showed him, you're not right, Saul.
That's right.
You know, Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen. Yes, he is.
He is the Christ.
Yes, he is.
You've been reading the book, but you haven't understood what it means.
Right.
And so that's why we want you to see today that the church age, which is the time we live in now, was instituted by Jesus Christ. It began back then at 2,000 years ago, we would say, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus having been crucified around the age of 33 and raised from the dead 3 days afterwards.
Amen.
Seen by his disciples for 40 days after the resurrection.
Amen.
Ascended into heaven after 40 days, seated at the right hand of God. 50 days was called Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down.
Mm-hmm.
The church was born, and they were dispatched to go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes, amen.
This gospel, the good news that God has given his Son.
Yes.
That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so now this guy here, he didn't get all that. He didn't believe that.
That's right.
And so he's the one writing the epistle to the church at Rome, as we were here in the 15th chapter. So what I want you to see is that the church age, this time what happened was God was fulfilling Judaism,
mm-hmm,
through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ came to fulfill everything that the law and the prophets stood for.
Amen.
All those things were symbols and types and shadows.
That's,
but he came to fulfill them all,
yeah,
and to institute what we now call the church age.
Yes.
Luke refers to it as the times of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a mystery that was concealed in the scripture and now is being revealed, fully full-blown revelation, if you will.
Amen.
The church age.
Yes.
And that's why the church is prominent in the world now, unlike anything else.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Okay, nothing else in the world is prominent like the church,
yes,
right now. And that's because,
yes,
this is a special time in history. So we want you to look at this, and all of this is revealed through what I call here, and what we could call messianic mystery. These were mysteries of Christ that were concealed in the Old Testament, which have now been made clear, and they have been revealed in the New Testament,
yes,
time, as we would call it.
Amen.
So let's take a look. I just want you to see. I'm going to just kind of do the narrative here today myself as we go, and we'll roll right through this. I want you to see that the church always was in God's mind.
Yes.
It was always God's desire to to save everyone.
That's right.
But God had a way that he chose to do that.
Amen.
And he had allowed man to do his own thing for many years throughout the time from the Adam's sin on up to the flood. And that's when man got completely rotten, and God says it's so rotten that I got to wipe it out. So he sent a great flood on the earth. Of course, he sanctified Noah, his sons, three of his sons, and their wives, eight souls were saved.
That's
and
right.
He destroyed the world with a flood, started it over.
Amen.
To repopulate it with just eight people. By chapter 11 in the book of Genesis, all that will take you from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis chapter 6. And then 7 and 8 are the times of the flood, and then by the time we get over to 9 and 10 is the dividing of the Gentiles. So the descendants of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth became known as the Gentiles. Okay, and it was not until chapter 12 in the book of Genesis that God sanctified Abraham, called him out of Ur of the Chaldees to get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred, not of thy father's house, and come into a land that I will show you, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless him that blesseth thee, and curse him who curseth thee, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen.
So he promised a blessing through the seed of Abraham. So that was him separating Abraham to produce these people who came to be known as Israel.
Yes.
The sons of Israel. Three generations later, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the sons of Jacob were called Israel. And they multiplied into millions. We're not going to tell that whole story.
Yes,
we do all the time.
Yes,
but they stayed around, and they became kings. They became the pomp of the earth.
Yes, they did. Amen.
Through the Davidic dynasty. In other words, the division of David. King David came out of the loins of Abraham. Solomon, his son, and all the kings all the way down until they were deported into Babylon.
Yes. Amen.
And that showed the rise and the fall of Israel.
Right.
This was 400 years before Christ was born. And then Christ was born after 400 years. And this is just kind of some quick history back reference here.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the 400 years, he was born exactly the way the law and the prophets said.
That's right. Amen.
He came in fulfilling over 300, 400 prophecies pertaining to his first coming.
My Lord.
That's why he's the most famous person on earth today.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's my most famous person as well, personally. I take that personally.
Yeah, okay.
Because the world is now configured around Jesus, whether people like it or not.
Yes.
And I guarantee you there are multiple thousands who do not like it.
Yeah.
Because people, that's how people are. They go from bad to worse. If God doesn't intervene, people go from bad to worse.
That's right.
So I'm happy he intervened on this one.
Yes.
To turn me around. See what I'm saying? Because I was going the wrong way. But I want you to see here, as Paul writes this letter, he himself was one who did not approve of Christ. He started off in disapproval. But Christ took him out of his disapproval, turned him around,
yes,
let him see that Christ did die for you. I came to die for you, Saul,
Amen.
To set you right.
Amen.
And I have prepared you from your mother's womb to be an apostle to the Gentiles.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to send you out to teach the rest of the Gentiles.
Yes.
And so he came to understand that. That's what we see here as we look at the text that we have set before us here. Now, I want you to see, we're going to go quickly here. I just will go ahead and read in Romans 15. We got up to this for a couple of weeks ago, starting at verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the Apostle Paul. As Christ also received us to the glory of God. So he understand something we talked about in Sunday school this morning. The church is to love one another.
Yes.
Don't try to judge one another.
Yes.
Don't try to figure out everything about everybody in the church. Realize that you are here to love. If they're in the church, they trust Christ. Why is it? It's because he loved you first.
Amen.
So you know what? Just like when you're born in a family, you don't get to pick your brothers and sisters. Because if we could, we'd be throwing some of them out. You need to go. I wouldn't have you in my family. You'd be throwing them out. There'd be some of them you wouldn't even want. So you don't get to pick your brothers and sisters in the church either.
Amen.
They are born again in the family. They sit right on the pew next to you. They may not make you happy, but God loves them.
Amen.
See? So we have to learn that. Love one another.
Yes,
Saul
do.
Hadn't gotten it, but he's got it now, as you can see here.
Right.
You know, if I were to say, you know, if you knew me better, you might not like me either. And you might be thinking, oh, I don't know about you now. I don't know, but in either case, God picks the ones Amen. Who come into his family.
Yes, he does.
He causes them to be born again, born from above.
Yes.
And so he says, love receive ye one another. See that? As Christ also received us to the glory of God. God is glorified when we accept the other people in the church.
Yes, he is.
For who they are, no matter who they are, no matter how you think of them. You might be judging them based on something you know, but God knows something else about your neighbor.
That's right.
He knows something else about your neighbor that you don't know. You may not know. He's not done. He's working on them. If you don't run them out to church, he's going to get them together. And even if you do, he's still working on them. He's going to fix them up. Yeah, he fixed you up, so you think, oh, it's all right for him to fix me. But he might not be able to do that with Brother Dr. Adam, though. He's too far gone. No, he's working on him, too. Leave him alone. Don't bother him so much. You know, because God has a work going on in his life. And he started it years ago, just like he did this church thing we were talking about this morning. Think about the apostle here, Paul. He was a mess. People, when he first came to church, Ananias said, oh, no, Lord, not him. You ain't sending him down here, are you? That one that's been killing Christians?
That's right.
Beating them and all that, dragging them to court? You going to send him down here? You want me to pray for him? Are you kidding me? Think about how Ananias went off.
That's right.
When God told him Saul is coming. You know, Saul? Let me get my gun, you know. Could blow him out of here, you know. No, but Saul is coming, and I'm going to change him. I've changed his heart. He said he's praying now. Don't blow him away. Pray for him he comes. See, he would never have taken him had he if God hadn't have came. God knew if I don't tell Ananias he coming, boy, he gonna go back there and get a big club and start beating him when he walks in the door. You know what I'm saying? So he had to prepare him. And so just like I'm preparing you today, there's some work God has for the people on your row.
That's right.
You may not know what it is, but God got something going on in their life.
Amen.
So Paul said, receive ye one another. You see that? Just as Christ also received us. And when you do that, the glory goes to God. God is glorified when we get along. And we understand each other for our calling. God has a calling on your life. He's taking you somewhere. He's going to finish the good work he started. That's what he said in Philippians, right? Paul writes that. Think about how much stuff Paul blessed the church with after he got turned around. Half of the New Testament, he wrote it with his own hand. Not necessarily with his own hand, but he penned the words. The words were given through his mind to the church.
Amen.
So notice this now. He said, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now that's a way of saying he was a minister to the Jews because God promised the Jews that he would bless them.
Mm-hmm.
I will bless him who blesses you, curse him who curses you. In your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See that?
Yeah.
And so he said he's a minister to them because God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, and he can come on up the list that he would bless all their descendants.
That's right.
So understand that. Yes, he did come to his own. John tells us in an encapsulated verse, he came to his own, but his own received him not.
Right.
But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, right?
Amen.
Even those that believe on his name, John 1:10 and 11. And so Saul understands that now he's got inside information from the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says here. And he came to do this for the fathers. And notice verse 9 of Romans 15:9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. See that? Now he goes right in their book and says, this is what it says in your Bible, you Jews who don't understand. God was telling you right there in the word that I'm going to bless the Gentiles and they're going to sing praise to my name.
Amen.
He can see it now. You know what? If you look, you're going to start seeing it now.
That's right.
I'm going to challenge every one of you. When you go through your Old Testament, when you understand the gospel, Christ is all through it.
Yes, he is.
Gentiles are getting saved all through it.
Yeah.
All the way from the beginning, there's Gentiles getting saved.
Amen.
Constantly. And they would have to say, yeah, okay. Ruth was a Moabitess, but she got saved, didn't she? Yes. Okay. Rahab was a harlot, but she got saved, didn't she? Yes. And he can go on through. You can just go through the Bible. Naaman, the Assyrian. He believed and he got saved, didn't he? Yes. And if you keep on going through, you'll find out tons of Gentiles were getting saved all the time.
Amen.
God was never a respecter of persons.
Never.
Still isn't today.
That's right.
He doesn't care if you're black, you're white, you're Chinese, you're Egyptian, whatever you are. He doesn't care. He made all of you.
Yes, he did.
The gospel is to the whole world.
Yes, it is.
The church ought to be multicolored. When you start seeing a church that's one-sided, talking about it's a black thing. No, no, no. You got the wrong gospel. It's not just a black thing. This is bigger than this. This is a global thing. This is for every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people all over the planet. And so we see a lot of poison creeps in today, so we have to be careful. And here what Saul said, he goes through so many verses here. Notice he pulls up another one here. And again, praise ye the Lord, you Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Yes. Now that's kind of a quote like here from this Psalm 117 you see up here. This is the entire 117th Psalm. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. And that word is goyim. Yes. All you Gentiles. Praise him, all ye people. See that?
Yes.
For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. See, that's in the Psalms. David said, everybody in the world praise God.
That's right.
Because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's Ephesians 4 and 5. So now Saul's eyes are open. He's seeing it. Here it is again, verse 12, Romans 15 and 12. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise and reign over who?
The Gentiles.
Oh my goodness, the Gentiles. Wow. And that's in the Old Testament. Isaiah said he's going to reign over the Gentiles. And see that? That's amazing. Then you keep on going. And in him shall who?
The Gentiles
trust. See that?
Huh.
It's all proliferated in the Old Testament. You can't read it without saying God has a plan for the Gentiles. It's not just the Jews. Now, God, he says the God of hope, he's telling this, saying this to people who might be on the fence. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
See that?
Yes.
And I myself am also persuaded of you, brethren, that ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. See that?
Yes.
So we should be building each other up, not tearing each other down. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given who? Of me, he said, of God. He realized, I'm one of the biggest recipients of grace. There may not be much left for you.
Me too.
By the time I get through tapping into the grace of God, I need it so much. Well, he probably feels like me. That's the way I feel all the time. I could use a big dose. Might not be much left for you by the time I get through. But the fact is, God has an unlimited supply of grace. Amen. He's anxious to give it to whosoever will. Now notice this here. He's moving on. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Ministering the gospel of God. This is the good news of God. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's my gospel. And here it's called the gospel of God. See that? Good news that God loves you just like you are, no matter who you are, and he's given his son for you, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now he understands it fully now. Saul's got the picture. I wonder, do you have the picture? Right now, do you understand God loves every person? You might find that. You know, what it makes me want to do, I want to find the most detestable person I can find.
My Lord.
The one that's the farthest out of sync with God. And tell them the gospel. Because God has enough grace for them.
Yes, he does.
And you know what? When they are transformed and they start to walk like we are now in the way of God, guess how much glory God gets out of that? God is greatly glorified. See? No, and you know what? You can find somebody on the other end. You can go to the highest person you can find. If they don't know Christ, they're lost. I don't care what kind of position you have in the world. You can be sitting on a throne of gold. You know, with silver clothes hanging all off of you. And you will go straight to hell without Jesus Christ. So everybody, whether you high or low, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one message. It's for the big and high and mighty. It's also for the lonely and the rejected, those who have been cast aside. So the Jews had much difficulty accepting the fact that their own scriptures, the Old Testament, was filled with references about the salvation of not just Israel's seed, but also believing Gentiles as well. See, it blew their mind. They still don't see it today. They say, oh, we reject the New Testament. Go ahead, let me show you Christ in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, don't pick up the New Testament. Let's open the Psalms.
All right.
You know, and let's open up Isaiah.
Yeah.
Let's open up Genesis.
All right.
Let's open up Jeremiah. We can go on and on. I can show you all through your Old Testament the reason why you should accept the Gentiles as saved. And you should accept Christ as your Savior. The Apostle Paul has become a believer at this point after his confrontation with the risen Messiah on the road to Damascus while en route to destroy the church, and was now adamant about how mistaken he had been for his own personal rejection of the concept of what the church is, and mostly because he could now see it clearly in the Old Testament scriptures. And the mystery of messianic revelation is the thing that opened his blinded eyes after Jesus told him that I am the Christ, that Messiah. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? So this message of free salvation was given to all mankind by faith in Jesus Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection, and is to be preached in all the world to all people, and is the true occupation of the true church for all of time, and is clearly revealed in the Old Testament and shall remain until, see, it's going to remain central until Christ returns.
Yes.
There's no new messages coming from God.
That's right.
The gospel is the grace of God. It is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
So the church should be parked right there. Can you think of anything better? God has promised to save you no matter who you are.
Yes.
No matter what you have done.
My Lord.
You could have done some ugly stuff like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people who done some uglier stuff than I did.
Mm-hmm.
But does it make any difference? There's people who have not done as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the hardest people to reach are those who've had a pretty good life and have been kind of in the middle, and they didn't really do no bad stuff. They don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't go out with people who do.
Self-righteous.
And they are kind of self-righteous and in their own mind. And they're very hard for them to understand you need a Savior.
Yes, it is.
No matter how pristine your life might be,
all right,
you must repent. The Bible says repent.
Right.
The one that gets me, and I'm going to tell you this and I'm about done. Somebody said, well, Pastor, do you actually believe that there aren't any other civilizations out there in space? I said, well, you know, there could be some civilizations out there in space.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if they are, they need to bow their knee to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And repent so they can be saved. If E.T. is out there, you need to get on your face before God.
Amen.
And repent. Because the Bible says that the heavens and the earth were contaminated with the sin of Adam.
That's right.
And the Bible says that God has given Jesus a name. It says there's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you're out there, you need to be saved.
That's right. Amen.
And I'll preach there too if you let me get over there. Maybe I can get on the next space shuttle that goes up. But if there's somebody up there, we need to tell them the exact same gospel that saves us in this room needs to save them too. Because there's no other name. You want a verse for it? Acts chapter 4 and verse 3. There is no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. So where can you be if you're not under heaven? Heaven is where God is.
That's right.
Okay, and everything else is under him. That would include Pluto, Saturn, anything else you name.
Amen.
All the way down to earth, you see. And so, and I say that jokingly, but it's true. The scripture covers it. It's a global universal gospel.
Yes, it is.
And it's for every person. Everyone who has a soul needs to be saved.
Everyone.
So if you're here today and you would like to join St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church as a member, we want to invite you and give you the opportunity to come at this time. And if you are not, you can be saved. You can come as a saved person. Christian experience is the term we use and throw around in the church. And we're accepting a member by letter. If you come with a letter from some church where they sent you here, or sometimes people do come by letters. It's not done a lot today in our time. It's something that was typically done in years past.
Yes, it was.
That somebody would leave a good church and move to another area, and they'd get a letter from their pastor to bring to the next church to show them that they were in good standing with the church where they left.
Right.
Or sometimes children go to college, and the parents write a letter saying, my daughter is a saved and believer, and she wants to sign into your church and basically be there on watch, as they call it, you see. In other words, she'll be there attending your church while she's away, but she's a member of a church here at home.
Amen.
So we want to ask you to come, whoever you are. Have a seat right here on the front row. Come as you are.
Glory.
Just come right now. Don't be ashamed. You need all the help you can be.